Accession number 127-18, reel 3.
Mr. Hughes, reel 3.
Fast in and fast out.
But you were more vulnerable than the beginning.
Oh, yes. Mind you, they improved them quite a lot because we only had point fives either side, twin point fives either side of the torpedo tubes. In later models of MTBs, they brought in a single Bofa for it. And then we had depth charges as well. We carried depth charges as well as the 229-inch torpedoes.
What did you feel about the German E-boat crews? Did you hate them or respect them or what?
Well, we respected them. We had to respect them.
But was there any hatred?
I wouldn't say there was hatred, because they were like ourselves. They wanted to get fast in and fast out.
Did you sink any E-boats or enemy warships?
Well, we damaged some, but the thing was, you don't wait around. Because if you wait around, you have more after you. So you got in as quick as you could, do as much damage as you could, and then go out.
Were you sunk or badly damaged yourself on MTB?
Oh, yes. I wasn't damaged myself, but my boat was damaged.
What happened?
We got a shell right through.
Which MTB was that?
MTB 219.
And do you know...
And 305. An armour shell went right way through the mess deck from one side to the other, out to the other.
Where did that happen?
Down at Dover.
In Dover Harbour?
No, out off Cape Yonay.
And who fired at you?
It was E-boat. I couldn't say which E-boat it was, but the shell had gone right the way through one side and gone out through the other. If it had been further aft, under the bridge, or just behind the bridge, there'd been engine room and main tanks. We'd have gone up in a cloud of smoke.
Did you see the E-boat?
No.
How did you know it was an E-boat?
Well, there's only one person be firing at you. You see what I mean? There'd only be an enemy would be firing at you. It's dark. You're going full belt.
But it could have
you've got all the spray coming up at the same time now, because the channel can be quite rough at times, and you'd be bouncing, tossing about. Because you're jumping from one wave to the other like that, you're bouncing, going a top notch, and it just went through one way and out to the other.
But it could have been a bigger boat.
305. Could have been a bigger boat, yes. But they were well armed, those E-boats and our boats. They were well armed.
When was this that the MTB 219 was hit?
It was February 43. What they did do, this was in prior preparation for D-Day landings eventually, but they took the tubes off, and we had a dory fitted, two dories, and commandos, and we go over the other side and silent running, and take these commandos ashore, and then bring them back, and then you'd hear the explosions going off here, there, and everywhere. It was more or less keep Germans on the toes, like.
Where did you take them to?
Between, what was it? Well, it'd be a little bit north of Cape Grenay. I think it was in the preparation for to disguise what the where they were going to do an invasion. It was one of Churchill's ideas was to keep prodding here and prodding there to make the Germans keep moving about.
As part of a deception plan.
Yes, a deception plan. And then in August of 43, I went out to Malta to Salima Creek, which was the torpedo base, CFB, Advanced Coastal Force Base.
To do MTB work?
To do MTB work.
When was this, you said?
It'd be in the... What did I say? June? July. About July.
44?
Yeah. 43.
How did you like operating in the Mediterranean?
Well, Malta has been... bombed. We was having to run out of harbour when there was any bombing of Malta itself. So we had to run out of harbour to get out of the way, get at sea, because they couldn't hit us at sea the same. And we used to do night patrols out to from Malta. Salima Creek, and that's where I met Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
How did you meet him?
He was on PT boats. And PT boats were tied up on the opposite side of the creek to us.
What kind of a chap was he?
He was, well, we didn't have much to do with them, like, but they were in and out, same as us, doing what we all wanted to do, and that was to ferry a lot of stuff across the North African coast, and then work our way up then with the army. Then when they took Anzio and started the beachhead.
But did you know that Douglas Fairbanks Jr. had been in films?
No. Well, I knew he'd been in films because. I remember his father. I was only a young lad, like, with Douglas Fairbanks Sr. I knew he was there, but I never seen him, but I knew he was there, in charge of his flotilla.
So, were you doing similar kind of work from Salima Creek?
From Salima Creek.
That you've been doing in Dover?
Yes.
Attacking convoys?
Yes, attacking convoys. Italian convoys. And German convoys that was trying to supply the North African troops.
Which MTBs were you working in there?
378. MTB 378. And we worked from there then to Cagliari in Sardinia, Advanced Coastal Force Base, then to a little island that was a naval base in La Maddalena. It was a small island between Corsica and Sardinia. And then from there, then we moved to Bastia in Corsica for the south of France invasion.
All with 378?
Yes.
Who captained that?
Let me think now. What's it? Quite Goodman or Goodyear?
Was it
Goodman? Goodman, Lieutenant Goodman.
Was it less dangerous in the Mediterranean than in the Straits of Dover?
No, I wouldn't say it was less dangerous, although it was better conditions.
Better weather conditions?
Weather conditions.
What was the strength of enemy opposition in the Mediterranean?
It was not as heavy as down when it was down at Dover. Not quite as heavy, although there was a lot of mass boats that they had, Italian mass boats. They were similar to MGVs and gunboats.
How did the Italian crews compare with the German crews?
Oh, I don't think there was a daredevil as what they appeared to be, because whenever we went into a fracas with them, away they'd go.
And yet they'd done some bad damage in Crete earlier on.
Yes.
Did you operate at night time again in the Mediterranean?
Yes,
or
mostly.
Mostly
at night time, but at an odd time during the day.
Did you support the Anzio invasion?
Well, we moved up on the Sardinian coast side, and as Anzio was taken and moving up, so we moved up with them.
But you supported.
And then we went into, Maddalena was taken over, and then we moved our base into there. Then.
But you supported the south of France invasion.
Yes.
Operation Anzio.
From Bastia. Corsica. We moved up to Bastia and then went to the south of France invasion.
What was that like?
It was hectic, because we was only going as support for landing craft and things like that. As I say, we had a single bow for forward and a twin Horlicon aft on a pow mounted turret.
Was there much enemy opposition in the south of France?
It was a good bit at times, but other times it was quite quiet. We never got ashore there, like.
Was MTB 378 hit in the Mediterranean or sunk?
No. I left it to, as I say, to go into base at Leghorn and come back to Leghorn. And then I went as this commander's batman.
When was that?
That was after I left MTB 378.
Which year was that, though?
That was 44. The end of 44. And then I was sent down to Naples to Fort Dellova. That was the main fort in the harbour of Naples. And from there, then, we went by transport to South France, to Marseille. They were doing the what did they call it now? Repatriation of the troops then by train from Marseille to Dieppe, and then cross on the ferry then back into barracks. I was finished then.
So that was the end of the war for you?
Yes.
So you were sunk just the once?
Yes.
In the war?
Yeah.
And was the time with the MTBs in the Straits of Dover more enjoyable for you than the Mediterranean or not?
Well, it was more enjoyable in the Mediterranean because it had less trouble than it did at Dover, because they used to shell Dover so much. I mean, to shell it from the other side. You're just getting up on a Sunday morning, and you might be going to church or, you know, to have a service, and they start shelling.
How much damage did they do to Dover?
Oh, terrific, terrific Dover damage. I lost a mate of mine that was down there with me. He was in the army, and they dropped the shell right in Market Square, and they were just lining up for a Sunday afternoon cinema, queuing up to go into the cinema on a Sunday afternoon, and started the shelling. And one landed right in the middle of the Market Square, blew them all up.
Was that in 42 or 43?
43. Early part 43.
Were there many civilian casualties in Dover from the shelling?
Oh, yes, there was. There's the caves. Champagne Caves, and the caves, you could go from one end of the town to the other through the caves if you wanted to.
Did you use the caves much?
I used the cave a couple of times to get back to the ship, because it started up late afternoon, and I had to get back to the ship before dusk. So I came back through the caves.
What was
miles long.
What was public morale like in Dover under the effects
of
the shelling?
I'd say it was not too bad, but a bit distressing because of the shelling. There was so much shelling all the time. Once it started, night time, all you did was a flash and dropping. Now you could drop anyway around Dover.
Were a lot of people evacuated from Dover?
Oh yes, there were a lot of people evacuated from Dover. But we used to be close to the dockyard. There's a little pub that used to be close to the dockyard. You just nip round if there was any washing, a bit of time off or anything like that. You just have a couple of pints and back to the pens. He was protected more in the pens than anything on the western arm, east arm, I should say.
So the pens were on the eastern side of Dover.
Yes. Yes.
Towards Sandwich.
Yes. You know where these cross channel.
Well, it's the eastern dock and the western dock, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Well, there was air sea rescue boats was on the east western dock, and we used to go round the buoys if we'd done an operation at night, and there'd been any fighters shot down or anything like that. We used to go round the buoys, these survival buoys that the pilots could get into and be in comfort inside the buoy. And we used to pick many a flyer up
From inside the body?
Inside the body.
Was anything left inside the boys to help them?
Oh yes, there's medical equipment and food was inside the boys. But the Jerrys used to pick on them as well, you see.
To get supplies from them?
Yeah.
They used to take the supplies?
Yeah, here's a pinch of supplies.
So they were especially for shot down airmen?
For shot down airmen.
What colour were they?
They were orange coloured boys. And some of them was camouflaged a bit, like, you know, a bit of grey in it or something like that, or blue.
Was there anything else distinctive about them?
No, only that it was like an open slit that you could get in and sit inside. I hadn't been inside one, but we was helping the flyer come out, get out.
Survival boys scattered all over the place?
Well, they were here, you know, in the channel.
Could people inside the boys signal to show that they were inside?
I couldn't say. I think there was something that they could hoist up, it would stick out. Something like that.
Like a flag?
Like a flag. But Jerry used to go and pick them up as well, you see.